Kind of funny how things work out. This morning I had 15 minutes to do a 30-minute sermon. Tonight I got 30 minutes to do a 15-minute sermon. We're going to be in the book of letter that Paul wrote to Titus tonight. A lot of instruction in there, a lot of good instruction, and I want to take a look at it, what it takes to be a good Christian. You know, we walk through this life and we think, well, we're living a good life. Treat everybody with kindness. Help out where needed. We carry food over to those that are hungry. We may buy a lunch or two here and there for a homeless person. We're not too judgmental. I use the word too in there because sometimes we are a little judgmental. We don't stress about things we can't control. That the last couple of years is not so true, but it's things that we should keep in mind. Keep our complaining to a minimum. Everybody's going to complain once in a while. I guess that's human nature. And et cetera. But when we look at the whole scope of things, is that all it takes to make us a sound Christian? People in the world seem to think so. No obedience, no salvation, but I'm a good person. So tonight, I want to look first of all, I want to read chapter 2 of Titus, and then I want to kind of break chapter 3 down a little bit. Chapter 2, Paul starts this chapter out. He said, but as for you, and that's Paul to Titus, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. That's a message to all of us that preach or teach God's word. Make sure that it's sound doctrine. This morning we talked about things that were going on in the church. Churches that have the sign Church of Christ on the outside of the building that are not doing what God's church is supposed to do. That's not sound doctrine. So as we talk about sound doctrine, it's what's in here. It's what God says to do. So he tells Titus, speak the things that are proper for sound doctrine. And then he goes into an explanation of what these things are. That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. And older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. So in these first few verses, he's given Titus direction on what to say and how to teach men. He's told him what to say and how to teach women. And now he's saying, likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. Be the example to the young men. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. That's a whole big long word. It simply means don't get yourself in a position where you're in trouble with God's word. Don't have anybody look at you and say, in a position where somebody can come back on you and say, well, you're teaching this, but you're doing this. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Then he tells Titus, speak these things. This is what you teach the public. This is what you teach the people in the church. He's addressed men. He's addressed women. He's addressed young children or young people. And he's addressed Titus and how he's supposed to act. And then he's, in verse 15, he's very explicit about what he says here. He tells Titus, you speak these things. Where needed, you exhort and rebuke with what? All authority. All authority is God's word. It's what Paul has taught Titus, what Titus has learned about God's word. That's the authority that he's supposed to use. And you use that to rebuke and exhort. So what's Paul saying about that? Don't get into an opinion. Don't go to someone and say, well, I think. If we're going to exhort, if we're going to rebuke, we go to the person with the Bible in hand and say, partner, here's what the Bible says. Not me saying it, it's God saying it. And you've heard Bruce, you've heard me, other people stand in this pulpit. Don't kill the messenger. We're talking about what God's saying. If you can't handle that, then we got a bigger problem because it's not me, it's God. And then his last part of verse 15, he says, let no one despise you. And Titus and those of us that are Christians, if we're doing what Paul's saying here in chapter 2, no one will despise us. Yeah, we're going to have people that are going to make fun of us. We'll have people that will say, well, you know, why are you a Christian? Why are you this? Why are you that? Why won't you go out and drink with us? Why won't you, you know, carouse with us? Why won't you do all these things? If you're handling God's word properly, they may not like that, but they'll respect it, and they won't despise you for it. Brandon had a thing in a sermon a couple weeks ago. Can't be cool. And that falls right into here. You can't be cool. But he said it's okay to be hip. Don't try to be cool. Try to stay with God's word. Try to do what Paul's saying here as far as his instruction, teaching others and keeping yourself clean so that you can be the example and nobody can come back on you. All right, now I want to look at chapter 3 a little more in depth. Because Paul starts chapter 3 again to us and Titus, and he comes back and he says, now, remind them. So it's constant. It's not just something you do and walk away from. Verses 1 and 2 tells us what we need to do as model citizens. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, that's the elders and the deacons, the leaders of the church, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Daryl and I were called on this morning, we were ready. That's a good work. That's just an example. We need to be ready to do the work of God. To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, to be gentle, showing all humility to all men. Humility. So, I look at those two verses and I think, being a sound Christian, yeah, I'm okay so far. I'm pretty much fall in line with that. Once in a while, I'll raise my back a little bit to authority. But that's just me. But when it comes to God's authority, we got to be able to handle it. If it comes to man's opinion, then we might have a different kind of a problem. But the authority that's spoken about here is with the elders and the deacons and God. Be subject to that. Show all humility to all men. All right, verses 3 through 8 talks about the motivation. Where the sound Christians and where does their motivation come from? What motivates us to be a sound Christian? Verse 3, I'm going to read all this, 3 through 8, and then we'll come back and break it down a little bit. 3-8, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hating and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of our God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is the faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. All right, so what motivates us? Let's break this down a little bit. Verse 3, he talks about our past. That's before we were Christian. And he said, for we ourselves, Paul includes himself here, because he uses the word we ourselves were also once foolish. Now bear in mind, this is Paul telling Titus to remind these Christians in Crete, okay? We ourselves were also once foolish. How foolish were we? Well, we were disobedient. Disobedient to God's word. We wanted to do our own thing. We were deceived. Still can be deceived today. We saw that in this morning's sermon. Those people are being deceived into thinking those things are okay. Instrumental music, women in worship, and all the things that we talked about. So don't be deceived. We've got families today, we've got where the wife might be a Christian or the husband might be a Christian, but they're not both. Then they got problems with the kids. What do we do with them? And pretty soon, some of the other family gets in on it, and the one that's Christian gets deceived. And it just gets to be too much. Wrong teaching. Serving various lusts and pleasures. Lust of the eye. Greed. We serve those pleasures sometimes, and we did that in our past. Living in malice and envy, we envy everything. I want what the Joneses have got. They got a bigger house, and I got to have a bigger house. They're driving a nicer car than me. I got to have a nicer car. Paul tells us to be happy with what we have. And then he said we were hateful and hating one another. How true was that? We didn't like anything. And it's hard to like anything when you don't have any goals in life. If you don't have heaven as a goal and you don't have God in your life, what's to keep you from hating things? The hate comes from greed and lust. I got to have more. I got to have this. I got to have that. And we see it in corporate America. We've seen it, most of us probably have seen it in the workplace. Somebody will step all over whatever they got to do to get a promotion and more money. That's hate. So we're motivated by our past. We don't want to go back there. Verse 4, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, this is the source of our salvation. Paul's talking about Jesus here. The kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. The appearance is talking about Jesus Christ. Verse 5, he goes on to say, let me incorporate it with 4, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, it's not because of what we did that Christ was here, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How did he save us? He went to the cross and died. He shed his blood for us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The source of the salvation is Jesus. The basis of salvation is our obedience. And then in verse 6, whom he poured out on us as abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That's the steps. Jesus was our source of salvation. Our obedience was the basis of our salvation. Obedience to what? The call to the gospel. We heard the word. We believed it. We confessed it. We repented of our sins. And we said, I'm ready to put Christ on. And I'm ready to live a righteous life. That's Jesus. That's obedience. And through study and acceptance of God's word, then we were able to accept the responsibility of putting Christ on and then living a righteous life thereafter. And verse 7 says that having been justified by the grace, by his grace, it's God's grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Heirs of what? That's heaven. That's the heir that he's talking about. We inherit heaven by being obedient, by being and living a Christian life. So in verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. That means continue to teach it. Titus and us, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Don't want to slide off back into the past. These things are good and profitable to men. So we've seen the whole scope here in verses 4 through 7 of what motivates us in our salvation, what motivates us to be good, solid Christians. The source of our salvation being Jesus, the basis of our salvation being obedience to the Word, the means of our salvation, the study and acceptance of God's Word. The result of all that is salvation, a promise of a home in heaven by our actions, which is a righteous living. So he's laid it all out here for Titus. And bear in mind, when he started into these verses, he said, remind them of this. So there's going to be times that we're going to fall backwards a little bit. There's going to be times that we're going to doubt ourselves, maybe doubt our Christianity. And that's what this is saying. Remind them what got you where you were or are. Don't fall back into a pattern that you don't want to get into. And verses 10 and 11 give you a little more instruction on what we're to do. Verse 10, it says, let's go to verse 9. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Don't get involved. Now, you got to, if you remember, a lot of the Christians that were in first century church were Jews that had converted to Christianity, right? Okay, so what he's talking about is don't get into foolish disputes with these Jews about the old law and their genealogies and their traditions. Just avoid it. But we can turn that and use it today too. Don't get involved in stupid disputes. Who cares what color the carpet is? Well, we care, but we shouldn't be arguing about it. Pews, chairs, it doesn't matter. We've got a place to worship. Be happy with what we have. Don't get involved in contentions and foolish disputes. They're unprofitable and they're useless. Now, verse 10, he goes on and he says, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition or warning. What does that come back to? That comes back to the teaching that if we've got a brother that has a problem and we know it's a problem and the congregation knows it's a problem, we're to go to him and talk about it. And biblically show him where it's a problem with love and kindness. Now, if that didn't work the first time, now we're to take three or four others with us and repeat the process. And if that doesn't work, Paul's saying here, reject it. I don't like this word, but it's a word that we use. It's a word that needs to be used, and it's called disfellowship. And in verse 11, he explains why. He says, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. Okay, we'll leave that just lay there. It says what it needs to say. We're to take care of it if there's a problem. And don't get involved with a divisive man. Verse 12 through 15 are instructions to Titus. And we'll end with that. And Paul says, when I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Paul's bedding down for the winter. He's telling Titus. Send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. And let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Our people, Paul's using here, are him and the people that work with him. And now with Titus and Timothy in Ephesus, then the people that work with them. Let our people also learn to maintain good works. Paul has lost some people, as we're aware of. He's had people that turned against Christianity and turned against him. But Paul knows what's right, and he's written what's right. And the people that are faithful to him know that he's right. And they know the teaching that they've given them is solid for them to give to others. So he said, let our people also learn to maintain good works, meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. And all who are with me greet you, greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. You may want to look at these two chapters this week sometime. There's a lot of instruction in there. But it's good instruction. It's simple instruction, and it's instruction that we can understand. We need to be more diligent sometimes. We need to be more caring sometimes. And we need to stay solid in God's word. Just as we saw this morning with the church being in shambles at different places, and I'll say this again tonight, we need to be very thankful for this congregation and what we stand for and what's here. We have a church, we have a congregation that's based upon God's word. We stay to God's word. And again, I think sometimes when we walk in those doors out there and come inside, we take that for granted. And let us be thoughtful and let us be mindful of what we have and the fellowship that we have with one another and, you know, all the things that we've got in our lives as far as Christians. So I'll leave that with you. The invitation is here for those that maybe want to put their Lord on in baptism. The baptism is ready. If you've not been baptized, now's the time. Now is the place. There may be those that need some prayers for help, prayers for strength, prayers for illness, whatever it might be. If you have any kind of a need at all, let's stand. Let's sing the invitation song.